Welcome to Dollar Discourse, deciphering the federal transportation budget. Join us for exclusive insights on how and why the federal transportation budgeting process works and what it means for transportation workers everywhere. ENO members should make sure to check out www.enotrans.org/dollardiscourse for more exclusive content. Greetings, listeners. I'm John Hammond, and welcome to Dollar Discourse, deciphering the federal transportation budget, an ENO Transportation Radio program. Today, we'll be interviewing the host of our new limited series, ENO's very own Jeff Davis, about the topic of this series and the so-called state of the pay. So, first things first, what's your story, Jeff?
I came to Washington, D.C. when I was 17 years old to attend American University, and then eventually started working for my home state congressman on Capitol Hill. Did that for 5.5 years, where I got a pretty good grounding in federal budget policy and federal procedure just from the nature of the committees he sat on. And then when he retired, I wound up working for a transportation consulting firm and got to know the peculiarities of the federal transportation budget a little bit, and didn't like the lobbying side of consulting, but I really liked the problem solving. So I started my own newsletter in 1999, analyzing federal transportation policy developments and budgets, trying to help out other people. And then eventually in 2015, I was bought out by the ENO Center for Transportation, a nonprofit think tank that covers these kind of issues, to help do the same work for them.
Thanks for that. So why is the federal budget important for transportation?
In its broadest sense, whatever level of government you're talking about, the decisions about who the government is going to take money from via taxation and how much, what and how much they're going to spend it on, and any difference that means borrowing at a certain rate, those are all decisions of priorities. So in its broadest sense, the federal budget is a listing of the priorities of what the people of the United States want to accomplish and how they're going to go about it. So it's transportation's role in the greater exercise of government. It's nothing short of that. Before COVID, the federal government was spending about $95 billion a year to provide, promote, and regulate transportation of people and goods. That was about 2.2% of total federal spending each year, or about 0.5% of the economy as measured by gross domestic product. And that's less than we were spending during the peak of the initial construction of the interstate highway system in 1965, but it's not that different than what we were spending as a country, both immediately before and then after the completion of the interstate system. So, but the difference is that there are now many more different claimants on the federal transportation dollar than there were in the mid-1950s before the interstate. You had the mass transit, for example, didn't exist as a federal role until the mid-1960s. The federal government inherited Amtrak by accident in the 1970s and didn't really start to spend money on new intercity passenger rail until 2009. The transportation security, for example, didn't exist before 2001 as a federal role. So while the federal government is spending about the same amount of money that it always was, it's been divided up more ways. So, and then we passed a huge bipartisan infrastructure bill last year that is going to try to change all that. So that's some of the reasons why I find this interesting and why other people should too.
Great. Thank you. So what's happening and what's going to happen in Congress during this series?
We're going to do a bit of explanation about how the process works, and then we're going to look at the fiscal year that starts October 1st, 2022, and ends September 30th, 2023, and the decisions that Congress makes leading up to that in terms of how much to spend, how much to tax, et cetera, pertaining to transportation. It's a particularly interesting year because, first of all, it's post-COVID. We're still trying to adjust to that. But even more importantly, Congress just enacted a huge multi-year bipartisan infrastructure law in November 2021. And That legislation provides a lot of money in addition to what we're already going to be doing in our annual budgets, and recommended even more. So we have, this is the first full year that Congress will be making decisions after the enactment of that law, trying to figure out if they're really going to fund all these extra priorities that were recommended by but not provided by the infrastructure law, the extent to which they're going to change existing programs to make them more compatible with what we're doing in the infrastructure law, and the extent to which they use the budget process to try to tweak or push the administration one way or the other in implementing the bipartisan infrastructure law. So we're going to look from start to finish at how they, different competing interests in Congress, try to do that and how successful they wind up being.
Thank you so much for the explanation, Jeff. We're excited about the series and the insights you'll provide. If you have any questions, don't forget to submit them through Jeffrey's Tube on our website, www.enotrans.org/radio. Thank you for listening to Dollar Discourse. Don't forget that members can get access to exclusive podcast content, additional insights from Jeff, and so much more by visiting www.enotrans.org/dollardiscourse. To become a member, follow the link in the description.